Morning. Today's daf from Pesachim Tzadi Beis. We are in the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Alpha Mid Beis. And I know this morning is going to sound a little bit like a repeat from yesterday in terms of discussing an onin, but yesterday the discussion revolved around shechting a carbon Pesach on behalf of an onin. Mishnah said yesterday that you're allowed to do so. If the onin is the only participant of the carbon Pesach, so then lechatchila one should not do so, but certainly if he's part of a group, you're allowed to do so. And even with the evidence, if you're shechting on behalf of the onin himself, so the shechita would be good shechita. His karm pesach would in fact fulfill the obligation of karm pesach, fulfill for him the obligation of karm pesach. Our mission now is going to be talking about the onin's ability to eat the karm pesach. So it's just one step further in terms of describing an onin. What is an onin? So hopefully by yesterday already we all figured out what an onin is. But in the event that we did not, let's quickly regroup. Onen is somebody who lost one of his seven relatives, and the Yom HaMisa, that person is going to have the status of being an Onen. Now, we're talking over here as it relates to the halachas of Achilas Kachim. For the Yom HaMisa, the person is going to be an Onen, and that status will end at the end of the day. That evening, he will be allowed to eat Kachim. Even if the Kfur did not occur by the evening, nevertheless, he would be allowed to eat Kachim that evening. What the Chachamim did, as we're going to see in just a moment, in Rashi, is that the Chachamim extended the period of Aninus into the evening. So if we went by the Din de Rabbanan, that means that he would not be able to eat the Karban Pesach. Consider, he becomes an Onin on Erev Pesach, and now for that day he's going to be disqualified from eating Karban Min HaTorah, but that night he's going to be eligible to eat Karban Pesach, but there is a Din de Rabbanan prohibiting to do so, and as we're going to see in just a moment, what the Chachamim did is that they waived their Isser de Rabbanan, so to allow him to eat Karban Pesach. They wouldn't do this by any other Karban. We're going to see this in just a moment in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to make this point very clear. For the eating of any other Karban, it's a mitzvah, but the Isser de Rabbanan is going to take prominence. On the other hand, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, the eating of the Karban Pesach is not only a mitzvah daraisa, but failure to bring the Karban Pesach is going to result in kares. So therefore, the Chachamim relaxed the aninus de Rabbanan and allowed him to eat the Karban Pesach. So this is a special dispensation that applies to the Karban Pesach. Let's see all this inside as we start with the Mishnah. Onin, tov v'ochos pischol erev. So the Onin is going to be toveling in the mikvah and eating the Karban Pesach that evening. Avala bekachim. But this is not going to be true by any other carbon. Good. The one feature which we have not explained here in the Mishnah is the idea that he tovels in the mikvah. Why is he toveling in the mikvah? He's not tameh. Again, a point that we made yesterday, but let's reiterate again today. Our onen is not somebody who buried his relative. If he buried his relative, so then obviously he's tameh. He's tameh meis. And there's no way he's going to be able to eat carbon Pesach. In fact, he's the perfect candidate. He's going to get pushed off from Pesach Sheni. He's tameh, and he's not going to be tar for another at least 7 days until he does the process of the paraduma. So we're only talking about where he's an onen, meaning his relatives died, and somebody else took care of the mace. Okay, good. What's the tefillah doing over here? He has tov in the mikvah for what purpose? So here we can take a look at Rashi. First Rashi in the Mishnah. V'afa pisha dayin lo nikbar de'in aninus mentara ela biyom shenamra hein hayom takrivu. Ve'ani onen v'achalti chatas hayom yom aser laila mutter. Okay, so first of all, Rashi over here goes through the source of aninus. How do we know, meaning all these halachas that we just went over together, that an onin is aser to eat kachem on that day and only that day, and that night is going to be mutter? So Rashi quotes the psukim in the 10th parak of Vayikra, where there, once again, we had the exchange between Aaron and Moshe, and Aaron says, you know that today I'm an onin. On that day, that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Aaron lost his two sons, Nadav and Avihu. So for that day, Aaron is an onen. And the pasuk says, Hein hayom hi krivu va'ani onen. So the hein hayom is referring to the day, that this day I'm going to be an onen, but tonight I'm going to be mutter. Utvila bai. Now, Rashi goes on to say, now what about the tvila? So vizu achas me achas asrei malos dechomer bekodesh. So when we get to the Gemara in Chagiga, we're going to learn that there are 18 chumras, sorry, I don't know why I said 18, 11 chumras that were imposed by the Chachamim as it relates to Kachim. So ha'onev ha'mechusa kippurim tzrichim tvila lekodesh. If you're going to eat kodesh, if you're going to eat karban, so if you're an onen or you're mechusa kippurim, even though mi'ikar adin, you don't have to dove on the mikvah, but as a stringency that was imposed by the Chachamim, so you're going to be toveling in the mikvah. Okay, and we'll go over the Gemara, when we get to the Gemara in Chagiga, we'll go over it in more detail. So And the reason why, says Rashi over here, very simply and succinctly, is because up until this point in time, they were banned, they were barred from eating kachim, having nothing to do with tumah, but still, they were barred from eating kachim. Well, that's not true by the Mechusar Kippurim, but anyway, by the Onin. So therefore, the Chachamim felt that a marker to indicate that now they're going to be having allowance to eat kachim, they're going to tov on the mikvah. Okay. So the point the Mishnah is making is that an onen can tovel in the mikvah on the 14th day of Nisan, have somebody shech the Karban Pesach on his behalf, and that evening he's going to partake, he's going to actually eat the Karban Pesach. Hashomei al-meso, v'hamalake lo atzamos tovel v'ocha b'kachim. The Mishnah over here goes over other people who have some sort of status, and yet what they could do is that they can partake of Karbanos. Shomei al-meso, Rachmanos learns about the death of one of his relatives, and the Yom Shmua is going to be gained a status of aninus midrabana. Now, mina Torah, a person is only an onen on the actual Yom HaMisa. But nevertheless, the day that he learns about it, so the Chachamim gave him a status of being an onen. It's an aninus midrabana. So, shomea al meso, malakit lo atzamos, somebody who had bones collected. Rashi over here writes of his father, of his mother. So he's going to be in a quasi avela state for that day. And once again, the point is that tova v'ochel bekachim. They can go ahead and tovel, and they can eat, and they can eat. Presumably, the Mishnah here is describing any karban. Now, over here, we're not talking about an aninus d'oraisa. We're talking about an aninus d'rabanan. So, therefore, since the day itself starts off as being on a level of d'rabanan, so there the chachamim were more relaxed in that he could tovel in the mikvah, and that evening. He'll be able to eat, and it's not limited to just carbon. It's true by any and all kachim. Gershon is Geyer. Last point of the Mishnah. Gershon is Geyer. Erev Pesach Bei Shamai Omrim Tova V'Ochel Pischol Erev. So somebody who converts on Erev Pesach, so according to Bei Shamai, he's going to be able to tovel and eat carbon Pesach that evening. Beisol Omrim Aporish Mina Arlek Aporish Mina Kever. Well, obviously part of the Geyer's process is going to be receiving a Bris Milah. Once you get a Bris Milah, it's Kaporish Mina Kever. It's like you. Like you came into contact with a mace, and so therefore you're going to have to go through the process of Shlishi Ushvi, the sprinkling of the Paraduma on days 3 and 7, meaning to say you're not going to be tar for another 7 days. Obviously, according to Beis Hillel, so anyone who has a Bris Milah, now we're going to qualify that statement in just a moment. Okay, so I realize right now I said it way too broadly, but I'll say it right now. Anyone who had a Bris Milah is therefore going to be prohibited from eating Karban Pesach until he goes through the Torah process, which means that he's going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Good. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so the Mishnah now talks about those who are allowed to eat Karban Pesach, specifically the Onen. Somebody who's an Onen in a Torah, so even though the Aninus is Midaraisa, but that's only for the day, the subsequent night is an Aninus extended by the Chachamim. But in order to be able to eat the Karban Pesach, the Chachamim relaxed the Aninus, the Rabbanan, so that he can eat Karban Pesach. Now, this would not be true by any other Karban, but it would be true by the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara here spells all this out in very succinctly. So, Kasav Aninus, the Laila, the Rabbanan. So, like we said, the Aninus of night time is a din de Rabbanan, v'gabe Pesach lo amidu divrayim, b'makom Pesach. So here the Chachamim said, that because the mitzvah of Karban Pesach is not only just a mitzvah to say, but coming with it an iser kares or a chiv kares if one does not bring Karban Pesach, so therefore the chachamim relaxed in this circumstance. So gabe kachim emidu divrei, but makom asay. Now when it comes to karbanos in general, so the eating of karbanos is a mitzvah. Rashi over here cites a pasuk. Actually this week's parsha. Ve'achlu osam asher kupar bahem. So yes, it's a mitzvah to eat carbon, but nevertheless, it doesn't have with it coupled the chiyav karis like the Karban Pesach does. So therefore, the chachamim's relaxation of the rules of aninus d'rabbanan is only limited to Karban Pesach, not to any other carbon. Hashomei al meso, continuing now in the Gemara, malakit atzamos habaya azar shlishi ushvii. So ema shaliktu lo atzamos. Okay. When I presented the Mishnah, I gave a correct presentation of the Mishnah, although for a moment the Gemara thought that he himself is Malakit Atzamos. He collected the bones of his of his parents. I didn't elaborate, by the way. There was a minhag where you bury and you wait for decomposition, and then a year later you take the bones and you move the bones. It's not for now to go over this old minhag, which obviously is not practiced nowadays. And nowadays there are circumstances where even after the body is buried, there are occasions where the body will, if necessary, needs to be moved. It will be moved anyway. Not for now. The point is that the right now the Gemara thinks for a moment that the son himself was the one who was malakat at Tzamas. Obviously, coming into contact with bones makes him tameh, and assuming that we're talking about a significant skeletal structure, so then you're going to need your tummy mace. Even if that's not true. In other words, coming into contact. If it's maga with a bone, so you're going to be tummy mace. Anyway, the point is you need 7 days of tahara. And how can the Mishnah give the impression that tonight you're going to be okay? So the Gemara's answer is, which is the way we presented the Mishnah, is that you didn't move the bones, somebody moved the bones for you. Still, there's going to be a quasi-avela status imposed upon you for that day, but nevertheless, it's only for one day, and that night you'll be able to eat Karn Pesach. Okay, Gershon is Geyer. Our discussion over here now is going to be revolving around someone who converts. So we're talking about somebody who had a bris milah, but we're talking about a non-Jew had a bris milah, i.e. conversion. Now, Beisil's concern is as follows. You see, if he had a conversion in Erev Pesach, so Beisil says as follows. Here's his thought process. Now, last year he was Tameh, but as a non-Jew, there is no Tumah, meaning that he just simply does not have the sensitivities, the status of being Tameh. So what happens when he converts Mamish Bo Bayom and Erev Pesach? So there's no reason that any of the Tumah is going to carry over. Vayomer, and this person now will say to himself, he's going to be confused, and he'll say, Yishtake milot avalti v'achalti. You know, last year, didn't I tovel and eat Karn Pesach right away? Achshav nami et bo v'achal. And so this year, shouldn't it be no different? Last year he was a non-Jew. There simply was no Kabbalah Satumah. This year he is a Jew who's going to be Mekabel Tumah. So Basil is just simply worried about the precedent that's going to be set forward if in fact we do allow him to convert and mamish eat the Karn Pesach on that very same day, not understanding the difference between not being able to be Mekabel Tumah as a non-Jew versus being Mekabel Tumah as a Jew. And Beis Shammai says, no, there's no need to make a gzera. Okay, one of these rare instances where Beis Shammai's position is more relaxed than that of Beis Hillel and less concerned. But when it comes to a Yisrael, so for a Yisrael we're not worried, meaning if the Yisrael has a bris milah, mamash and Erev Pesach, right? What was he doing waiting to have his bris milah? Whatever the case was, whatever the circumstances were, but if he has one on Erev Pesach, so there's no reason to be concerned, because we're not sending any kind of misimpression erroneous thought process in which this year, last year, so v'lo gazrin and Ari Yisrael mishum Aron Nachri, and what? And now you're going to make a gzera because of a Yisrael of a uncircumcised Jew to an uncircumcised non-Jew, that already is too far to extend. And so therefore, Rav Yochanan says that the only time that we are going to make a gzera for somebody who had a bris milah, that they can't eat Karn Pesach right away, and they're going to have to go through the 7-day tahara process, same as would a tamei mace would have to go through. That's only a gzera that was extended for conversion going from non-Jew to Jew. But if a Jew gets a bris milah on Erev Pesach for whatever reason, so then you can eat Karn Pesach that evening. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa supporting this exact idea. Amar Risha Mamin Lazar Lo Nechluku Beishamay Beisol Al Ari Yisrael Shetova Vaochas Pischo La Erev. As far as a Jew receiving a bris milah, being able to eat Karn Pesach that night, so everyone's in agreement. You're allowed to do that. Al Man Nechluku. The only debate is Al Aron Nachri Shebeishamay Omrim Tova Vaochas Pischo La Erev Veisol Omrim Haporish Min Arla Keporish Min HaKever. Okay, so good. So the Brisa says exactly what Rav Yochanan says, that this shita of Beisilo, Being machmir on someone who gets a bris milah, is only for a non-Jew who is converting, and as part of the conversion process is getting a bris milah. So under those circumstances, you won't be able to eat Karn Pesach that night, and you'll simply get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Amar Rava. We are now going to have a great review of much what we learned here in this Masechta, and a little bit of what we learned back in Masechta Shabbos as well. And that is the following. we have now come onto circumstances in which we see that if there is a din derabanan that is preventing an individual from eating Karban Pesach, sometimes the Chachamim said the din derabanan is going to give. Sometimes the Chachamim said no, the din derabanan is not going to give. And so we are now just going to go over a summary. There are going to be six dine derabanan, a summary of half of them where the Chachamim basically said that the Chachamim are going to hold their ground by the din derabanan. And the other half, three of them, where the Chachamim did not hold the ground by din derabanan and allowed them to go ahead and eat Karban Pesach and just simply overlook a din derabanan. Amar Rava, Aro, Hazav, Vizemel, Hemi de Divrei, by Malcolm Kares. That when it comes to the cases of Aro, Hazav, Vizemel, we're going to go through each one specifically. So there, the Chachamim held their ground, meaning that the din derabanan is going to be in place. Afilu by Malcolm Kares. Even though it's going to prevent them from violating a or fulfilling a mitzvah that has with it coupled an Isser Kares or Chiyuv Kares, nevertheless the Chachamim held the ground. However, when it comes to Onei Mitzora Beis Apras, lo hamidu divrayim b'makom kares. So in these latter three cases, so the Chachamim basically waived the din derabanan because of an Isser Kares or a Chiyuv Kares. Now, Ara Hadam Aran. So what we're going to do now is that we're basically going to go through each set. So when the first grouping over here, and that is where the Chachamim basically said, we're going to maintain the din derabanan, even though it means that they're going to have to forego a mitzvah that has with it a chiyuv kares. So the first case is Arel, and that's what we just learned, meaning somebody who is receiving a milah on Erev Pesach, and again, now we know it's referring to a non-Jew receiving a milah on Erev Pesach and going through the conversion process. So what we learned together is that there's a din derabanan. The Chachamim were concerned that if we allow this person to eat Karban Pesach this evening, so he's not going to have the sensitivities. In fact, in just the opposite, he'll have a false impression that he was Tamei Meis, and yet he's eating Karban Pesach, and it's no big deal. And again, not realizing that, yes, he came into contact with Tumah, but he's not Tamei Meis, because an hour before the conversion, he wasn't Jewish. And so therefore, he just simply is not Mekabel Tumah. And he's not going to realize that next year. He's going to continue along that same thought process. So the Chachamim made a gzera in this particular regard. And even though this gzera means you're not going to be able to partake of Karban Pesach. Again, it's not a terribly big deal. He just gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. The point is that the Chachamim held firm on their din derabanan in this case. What's the second case? So this takes us back to the sixth parak of our Masechta. Back in the sixth parak, we learn that even though sprinkling of the Paraduma, let's say Shabbos happens to coincide with the third or seventh day of his Tahara process, and let's get more dramatic, meaning let's say Shabbos happens to coincide with the seventh day of his Tahara process, and now if we allow the Hazar to be done on that Shabbos, so what's going to result in that is going to be that he's going to be tar so that he'll be able to eat Karban Pesach that night, but still the Chachamim held firm over here, disallowing his ability to get the Hazah on day 7, even though it means that tonight he won't be able to eat Karban Pesach. Why did the Chachamim hold the ground? So if you remember back when we did this inside in the sixth parak, so there was an interesting Rashi and then there was the Gemara. And it was funny, Rashi seemed to give a different reason other than Gemara. The Gemara simply says because of caring, meaning what's going to end up doing is that if we're going to be required to be sprinkled with the Paraduma, so you may end up carrying the solution of the Mayim Chaim and the ashes on Shabbos, and so therefore it's Gzira Darabah. That was the Gemara. Rashi back in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah first introduced us to this idea, so Rashi says that we're talking about Tikkun Gavra, right? It's a Tikkun for the individual. That's why the Chachamim abandoned. Okay. Anyway, that was number two. Number three, Zemel. D'Tanya. Keshem Shem Mivin Oso Derech Rishos Rabim Kach Mivin Oso Derech Gagos V'Derech Chateros V'Derech Karfifos. Just like, let's say, for example, you didn't bring the knife in order to do the mitzvah of milah. Now, here, by the way, just a quick transition. We're now talking about a mitzvah that has a kares with it, but instead of Karban Pesach, here we're talking about the mitzvah of milah. But still, the point is the same. The Chachamim here held firm and told you that you're not allowed to violate Issur Derabanan. Now, carrying in Rishos Rabbim, that's an Issur Deraisa. That goes without saying you're not allowed to do, meaning if you fail to bring the knife before Shabbos to the makom, to where the baby is, so to carry the knife through Rosh Hashanah is an issur d'oraisa that you can't do. And you'll remember this in the context of the 19th parak of Shabbos, where according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can do it because it's machshirei mitzvah, which is doches haShabbos. But again, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and so therefore, you're not allowed to violate Isur Deraisa. But on top of that, and that's the reason why the Gemara is over here, you're not allowed to violate even Isur Derabanan. To carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid owned by somebody else, and there's no Eruv that's made between the two, that's an Isur Derabanan, and there the Chachamim held firm and said you're not allowed to violate that, even though the mitzvah of Mila will not be accomplished. Again, that's not going to be the end of the world, because we'll do the mitzvah of Mila after Shabbos. But that's just simply a third example where the Chachamim held firm. Now, where are three occasions where the Chachamim relaxed the Isurei Derabanan? So that's the next three, and then we're going to go through each one of them individually. Onein Hada Amarn. So as far as Aninus is concerned, so the Chachamim relaxed. A person is an Onein an Erev Pesach. So what? As long as that Onein is not Tamei, so then the Onein will tovel in the mikvah, like we learned in our Mishnah in today's daf. An Onein will tovel in the mikvah, and the Onein will be able to eat Karm Pesach that evening. Even though Aninus extends mid the Rabbanan into the evening, the Chachamim relax the rules of Aninus. Okay, one of those bigger discussions, which I'm not really prepared to have, just simply because I don't know, is why the Chachamim held firm in three of these occasions, which we just went through, and why the Chachamim relaxed in three other occasions. So is there a common explanation that you can give in terms of seeing the former three and the latter three? Maybe. I just simply don't know. Anyway, but in the case of Aninus, the Chachamim were Mako. Mitzora Maihi. Now, what's the example? Mitzora Zodetanya. Mitzora Shechal Shmini Shalab Erev Pesach. So over here, a case which is unlikely, but still, we're not interested in whether the case is probable. We're interested in the case of the possibility of the following scenario. You have a Mitzora, he went through his entire Tahara process all the way up to day 8. Day 8 happens to coincide with Erev Pesach. Now, we know for the Mitzora on day 8, so the only thing he's lacking is what's called Mechusar Kippurim. He needs to bring his Karbanos. His bringing the Karbanos will allow him to eat Karm Pesach. So far, so good. Meaning, if he's already up to day eight, and day 8 coincides with Erev Pesach, so under normal circumstances, he would be totally fine. Meaning, he'll just simply bring the Karbanos. As part of the Karbanos, one of them is the Karban Asham, where the blood of the Karban Asham is going to be applied both to his thumb and to his toe and to his right earlobe. But fine. In other words, and tonight he'll be able to eat Karm Pesach. However, the problem is as follows, V'ra'a keri bo bayom. So he is also a keri on that very day. So now, being a keri on that very day, so that's going to create a complication. What's going to be the complication of being a bal keri? So the complication of being a bal keri now is that he won't be able to go even into the area of Har HaBayis. Meaning, as a mitzora on mechusik, for his mechusik kippurim, meaning that he already experienced day 7, which included Tefillah b'mikvah, Harav Shemesh. So at that point in time, the only area that he's banned and barred from is going into the Azara. But that's not a problem. Rashi over here goes through all the details. I'm just summarizing the Rashi. But that's not going to be a problem. Because what he'll do is he'll go up to Sharni Kanor. We just described this a couple of days ago. He's going to go up to Sharni Kanor. He's going to insert his thumb into the Azara. Rashi over here gives a couple of explanations why that's fine. The first explanation of Rashi is Bia b'mikvah slosh lav shmei bia. Because you're not going into the Azara, you're just simply putting your thumb into the Azara. Anyway, Rashi also gives another explanation, whatever the case is. The point is that that in of itself would be fine. So as a Mitzora on his eighth day, so being in the Har HaBayis is no problem whatsoever. Extending his thumb and his toe into the Azara also is no problem. That would be fine. But now on top of that, if also on day 8, he also is a Bal Keri, so that creates a further complication because a Bal Keri is not allowed to go into the area of the Har HaBayis. So he can't get to Sharni Kanor. Sharni Kanor, obviously one has to get into the Har HaBayis area in order to get to Sharni Kanor. So that creates a complication. What do you do? So that's exactly what we're learning together in the Braisa. So V'ra Keri Bo Bayom Tova V'Ochel. So what he'll do is he'll Tova and he'll eat. Amar Chachamim Afa Bish Tful Yom Eino Nichnas Ze Nichnas. Now normally a Tful Yom is not allowed to go into the area of the Har HaBayis. However, in this case, allowances are given. Mutav yavo esei sheyesh bo karis v'yitche esei sheyem bo karis. So, the esei that comes with it, the chiyuv karis, i.e. Karban Pesach, is going to override this esei, okay, which is that a bal keri is not allowed to go into the area of the Har HaBayis. even a Balkeri Tful Yom, meaning he's a Balkeri Tovel in the mikvah, and the only thing left for him to experience now is Hera Shemesh, even he can't go into the area of the Har HaBayis, but in this circumstance, so in order to allow him to eat Karban Pesach, he's allowed to. Now, right now, the way the Gemara has it set up, it's essay versus essay, one positive commandment versus another, which is not making our point. But our point is, lohem midu divrehem, that the Chachamim relaxed the Dinei Derabanan. So we need the next piece of Gemara in order to understand how this fits into our discussion. The Amr of Yochanan Dvar Torah filo essay in Bo Shenem Rav Yamal Yoshafat Bikal Yehuda V'Yushalayim Beveis Hashem Lifnei HaChatzar HaChadasha. So here now a supplemental limud of Rav Yochanan that helps us get through this. And that is that when you have a Balkeri who is a Tful Yom, he toveled in the mikvah, and he's only waiting for Erev Shemesh, mid Araisa, he can go into Har HaBayis. It's a din derabanan that prevents him from going into Har HaBayis. So my chatzer chadasha, shechitcha bo davar v'amru Tful Yom lo yikanes be machane leviyah. It's a din derabanan that bans our Tful Yom from going into machane leviyah. The machane leviyah is synonymous with Har HaBayis. So therefore, the point that Gemara is making over here is that the only thing that is preventing him from going into Har HaBayis is this din derabanan, which apparently was instituted during the days of Melech Yehoshaphat. But the point is, it's a din derabanan, it's not a din daraisa. Okay, good. Now we totally understand how it is that it fits into this category where we have this din derabanan that a Baal Keri Tful Yom is not allowed to go into Har HaBayis. But again, in order so that he will be able to bring Karban Pesach, and he's going to need to go into Har HaBayis so that he can go through the procedure of the Taharas HaMitzora and have the application of the Dam being put on his thumb and toe and his right earlobe. So therefore, they're going to waive the Din Derabanan. That is example number two. And now finally, example number three. Beis HaPrastit Nan, Vishavim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel have agreement. Shebokin La'osei Pesach Vein Bokin La'ochlei Truma. That what you could do is that if you have to traverse through a Beis HaPras, Rashi over here goes through the details. We've covered this numerous times. The idea is that you had a kever, you lost a kever that was plowed through. The field now has bone chips that are scattered throughout the field. There would be an Issur Derabanan to walk through the field, right? For the concern that you're going to actually make contact with one of the bone chips. Over here, because they're bone chips, there's no Tumas Ohel. It's just Tumas Maga, but nevertheless, if you end up making contact with any one of the bone chips, so you're going to become tummy. So, are you allowed to walk through the base of pros? The answer for a Kohen to walk through the base of pros, the answer, of course, is no. Can the Kohen walk through the base of pros while examining the base of pros? The answer generally is no. Can he do so in order to partake of Karban Pesach? So here we're going to have an answer being yes. To eat truma, meaning if at the other end of the base of pros is the ability to eat truma that you're not allowed to do, but to eat Karban Pesach, so that the Chachamim allowed. So my botim, what does that mean? You're checking the base of process you're walking through. So the Gemara gives a couple explanations. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmul, Menafech, base of process, Veholech. So one explanation is that what you're going to do is you're going to take some sort of blower, right? In my mind, I always think of the leaf blower, but I understand that's not, that's somewhat anachronistic. But anyway, but the point is that the only concern over here, we're not worried about bodies being buried underground. Again, the plow dismembered. I know it's slightly indelicate, but the plow dismembered the body underneath, and there was no Tumas Ohel. The only concern is coming to actual physical contact with one of the parts of the body. So under those circumstances, if you're just blowing your way through, making sure that there's no bone chips in your way, so that's one way you could do it. Menafech beis apras v'holech, Rav Yehuda bar Abayim, Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Amar, beis apras shenidash tower, or let's say there's already a worn down path, meaning that people have been walking frequently through one particular path through the beis apras, and you see that it's the area is totally cleared, and you can see that there's no bone chips in that area, so you can walk down that path. So those are allowances that are given in order to be able to walk through a beis apras, even though under normal circumstances there would be an issur derabanan for a kohen to walk through a beis apras, but if on the other side is the ability to eat Karban Pesach, so the Chachamim relax their rules. Okay, I'll just reset the question, although I don't have an answer. Meaning, so on a number of occasions, three in total, so the Chachamim did not relax their rules and held firm in their Isuri Derabanan, even though that would prevent the fulfillment of a mitzvah that has with it a Chiyuv Karis if you don't fulfill that mitzvah. So, okay, that was the first three. That was Ara Hazar and Izemo. And the case of Izema, by the way, had to do with Mila, not Karban Pesach, but still it's the same point. And then there were three times where the Chachamim relaxed their rules and allowed the Isuri Derabanan to bend so that a mitzvah's essay of Karis can be fulfilled. Those are the Isuri de Rabbanan of Onen, Mitzara, and Besa Pras. Okay, is there a common explanation in terms of why the first three, the Chachamim, would not bend, and the latter three, the Chachamim, would bend? There could be an explanation. I just happen not to have one. Or maybe the entire question is just simply baseless. It could be that each one of them is to be treated independently. And even though the Gemara groups them together, but nevertheless, it could be that they are just simply each one treated independently respective to their particular Issur D'Rabbanan, right? Obviously, every Issur D'Rabbanan has its own flavor, nature to it. And it could just simply be that looking for a common theme between them may be pointless. Okay, we are continuing. We are now in the ninth parak of the Masechta. And as we open up to the ninth parak of the Masechta, right, Hadron al-Chaisha, we just finished the eighth. So in the ninth parak of the Masechta, so we are going to be discussing Pesach Sheni. This parak, which is going to take us less than a week, takes us all the way up to Tzadi Tes. So we are going to visit the idea of Pesach Sheni, right? One of the unique features of the Torah where you have a makeup date. In the event that you don't, you're unable to bring Pesach Rishon, so you're going to bring your Karban Pesach on what is a month later, on the 14th day of Iyar. So Pesach Sheni. So all this is based on an episode that occurs in Parshas Baaloscha. And yes, we're going to be studying from the Pesukim in Parshas Baaloscha. And this parak is dedicated to the topic of Pesach Sheni, which means basically that we have concluded the Mishnayos and the Gemara that dealt with Pesach Rishon, meaning Parakim's numbers 5 through 8, which we just completed, that took us through Pesach Rishon, and now this is almost like a supplemental parak that deals with Pesach Sheni. And then obviously the excitement coming up on the horizon is going to be the 10th parak of the Masechta, where there we actually talk about the night of Pesach. Right, as I mentioned already in the beginning of the Masechta, the fact that this is Pesachim is a bit of a misnomer. People think this Masechta has to do with the actual Yontov of Pesach. So 90% of it, 90% of it, Prakims 1 through 9, all have to do with Erev Pesach. And Chametz Matzah on Erev Pesach, and the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach. So 90% of it does not have to do with the Yontov of Pesach. It's only the 10th parak where finally we're sitting there at the Seder night. So, okay, that's a bit of a misconception as it relates to this Masechta. Let's start with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins, Misha Yatama B'derech Rechoka. So the Torah gives us two examples in which a person is going to be exempt from Pesach Rishon. The person's Tame, or he's B'derech Rechoka, he's at a distance. So Lo Asas Rishon, and he didn't bring Karban Pesach on Pesach Rishon, so Yasas Sheni. So he'll bring it on Pesach Sheni. The Mishnah goes on to describe, let's say he was a shogeg. Simply, he forgot, slipped his mind, right? Didn't have it in his calendar, and whatever, and he hasn't been that social lately. Onenas, or circumstances beyond his control. So, and he didn't bring Pesach Rishon, so Yasser Sasheni. So then, he also has a makeup date in which he can bring Pesach Sheni. Im kein lama namar tamei yoshaya b'derech rechoka. So the Gemara now wants to know, so if we have this makeup date that really applies to anybody and everybody, and we're going to qualify a little bit later on, right? This is makeup date for everybody. But right now, let's just say it simply. Since this makeup date applies to everybody, so why is the Torah highlighting Tamei and Derech Rechoka? It would be true by anybody. So She'ilu Petur Meikaris Ve'ilu Chayavim Beikaris. So the Gemara says, well, one group is going to be exempt from the punishment of Karis, while the other group is going to be Chayav in the punishment of Karis. Now, stay tuned as we are going to explain that line of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says they're going to be Chayav in Karis, who's the they? Right? The Shogeg is going to be Chayav in Karis? No. The Ones is going to be Chayav in Karis? Absolutely not. So who's the they that's going to be Chayav in Karis? So stay tuned. We're going to have to explain that, and we'll do so in just a moment. Itmar, Haya B'derech Rechoka V'Shachtu V'Zarku Alav. Okay, so the person is now Derech Rechoka. We are, later in this parak, going to give definition of what Derech Rechoka is. Actually, we're going to debate what is Derech Rechoka. So that debate is coming up, actually, in tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, however, Derech Rechoka, right now, we can just explain simply, you're far away, right? You're outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, and for whatever reason, you didn't make it your way in by the time Erev Pesach has rolled around. So you have an exemption. You have a patur where you don't have to bring Karban Pesach. Okay, and as we're going to see, Rashi is going to say very clearly, in other words, when is Derech Rechoka an exemption? It's going to be any time in the afternoon of Pesach. So anywhere, anytime from Chatzos, I know you could say half an hour after Chatzos, until Shkias Hachama. So the you're outside of the area of the Beis Hamikdash. So now you are within this exemption of Derech Rechoka. Gemara now has a really simple question, and that is your Derech Rechoka and Shachtu V'Zarku Alav, and somebody shachts on your behalf. Meaning, right now you're outside, but you're making your way towards Yerushalayim, and by tonight you're going to make it into Yerushalayim. Are you at that point in time? Can you partake of the Karm Pesach? Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza, Rav Sheshes Amar Lo Hurtza. And so here we have a machlokas amarayim as to whether or not you get a check mark for your Karm Pesach. Now Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza Amechus Udechas Rachman Allah, the Aved the Tavalav Bracha. Now the way Rav Nachman understands is that, look, Derech Rechoka is an exemption, but it's an exemption to relieve you. Meaning to say, though, however, that if you want to put yourself in a position where you're going to be fulfilling the mitzvah, tavol al bracha, that's great. So even though you are exempted, but the exemption over here does not remove you from the ability to bring Karm Pesach, it just simply is going to relieve you from having to do so. But if you can find a way to make it to Yerushalayim by nightfall, and somebody else is going to shech Karm Pesach on your behalf, so according to Rav Nachman, good, tavol al bracha, that's great. Rav Sheshet Amar Lo Hurtza, mitzchei dachi rechmana. Kitamei. And Rav Sheshet says no. Rav Sheshet says that the exemption of Derech Rechoka is no different than the exemption of being Tamei. Now, being Tamei, it's not a relief that you received. Being Tamei means that you're simply not eligible to bring Karm Pesach. And therefore, you're going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And so Rav Sheshet says the same thing is true regarding Derech Rechoka. Derech Rechoka is not a relief. Derech Rechoka is an exemption. It means that you are, right now, removed from the category of being eligible to bring Karm Pesach. And therefore, even if somebody does it on your behalf, and even though you're going to make it to Yerushalayim by nightfall, nevertheless, the exemption puts you now in a category where you're simply you're ineligible. Amar Rav Nachman Menamin Aladidnan. So Rav Nachman says, now let me make my point. Let me make my case that, in fact, the exemption is just but a relief. And if you want to make yourself available that night for a Karm Pesach, so someone could check on your behalf. And Rav Nachman says, and look, I'm going to read the Mishnah, and we're going to see all this in the Mishnah. Did not we learn in the Mishnah, Mishiyah Tameh B'derech Rechoka V'lo'as, it's a Rishon Yas, it's a Sheni. So the person is either Tameh B'derech Rechoka, and he didn't do the Rishon. So Mechlal Di Ibaye Avad. Now, the Mishnah adds words which seem to be superfluous. The Mishnah says he was Tameh B'derech Rechoka V'lo'as, it's a Rishon. And he didn't do the first one. What do you mean, and he didn't do the first one? Doesn't Tamei Derech Rechoka by definition mean, and he didn't do the first one? So Rav Nachman says, great. It really bears out my point that he could have done the first one. Now again, as a Tamei, you can't, but as a Bederech Rechoka, you can. Somebody will shachta on your behalf, right? You're texting him. I'll be there by tonight. So fine. So someone will shachta on your behalf. And that's why the Mishnah says v'lo asas arisha, meaning not only was he far, and on top of that, he still didn't do it, meaning there was a chance for him to do it and be there by tonight. So that's how Rav Nachman understands the Mishnah. Sounds like the exemption for Derech Rechoka is not, it doesn't remove him from the Karm Pesach, it just simply relieves him from Karm Pesach. Rav Sheshet Amar Lachai Hachi Sefer Diktani Shagog Nenas V'lo Asas Arishon Yasas Hasheni. So Rav Sheshet says, really, you like that diak in the Mishnah? How about reading on the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah goes on to say Shagog Nenas V'lo Asas Arishon. He was a shogig, or he was an nenas, and he didn't do the Rishon. So make the tani v'lo asa mechlal di bay avid hari shogig v'hari nenas. The Mishnah describes that he was a shogig or he was a nenas. And now you want to read that into the Mishnah, and he didn't offer the Karm Pesach. Of course he didn't offer the Karm Pesach. He was in a state of shogig. He was in a state of ones. There was no opportunity for him to offer Pesach Rishon. So Ella mezid ketani ba'adayo. So the Gemara says the mezid is together with those cases. So hachanami unein katani behadayu. So the Gemara says as follows. Now, what you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to read the following into the Mishnah. And Rashi makes this point very clear and look back in the Mishnah. Now, in the Mishnah, we have cases in which, the other cases outside of Tamei Derech Rechoka, meaning the Mishnah's examples are shogeg or ones. What you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to add in there also mezid as well. So, and in a moment, we're going to make it very clear why you're going to have to add mezid into the Mishnah. So as long as we're adding into the Mishnah, so also we can add onin as well. So the point that we're making is as follows, is that once we're adding cases in the Mishnah of Mazid, again, for reasons which we're going to clarify in just a moment, so we can also add Onin as well. And that's why the Mishnah describes Velo Asa Esarishan. So Amar Avashi Masis Namideka Diktani Ela Petur Mikars Velo Chayav Mikares. So the Gemara says, and I know we have to add categories into the Mishnah. We have to. Why? Because look at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, look, if you are going to be able to bring Pesach Sheni for being Tamei, for being Derech Rechoka, but the truth is that you could bring Pesach Sheni even if you were Shogig, or even if you were Ones, so then why is the Torah laying out the examples of Tamei and Derech Rechoka? Meaning it would be true in other cases as well. So the Mishnah concluded by saying, well, you know, for some of them, you're going to be Chayiv Karis, and for others, you're not going to be Chayiv Karis. Now, Ahaya, Ilem HaShogig V'nena, Shogig V'nena, Zmenei Karis Nenu. Now, when the Mishnah ends off by saying, and you're going to be Chayiv Karis for these cases, which case are you going to be Chayiv Karis for? Shogig? You're going to be Chayiv Karis for being a Shogig? Meaning you obviously should have been more careful, but you're not going to be Chayiv Karis for a Shogig. And certainly not Ones. Ones, something was beyond your control. So, Ela, Lav, Amazed, V'onein. So what it must mean is as follows, is that there are going to be cases in the Mishnah where you are going to be Chayiv Karis, and that is Mazid and Onin. Mazid and Onin are cases in which one would be responsible to bring the Karban Pesach. Obviously, Mazid, right, the person, for whatever reason, says, look, I know it's Erev Pesach, and I'm here, and I'm available. I just simply don't want to do so. Okay, so you could bring Pesach Sheni, but you're still going to be liable for deliberately failing to bring Pesach Rishon. That's the case that we're including in the Mishnah. And not only are we including that case, we're including the case of Onin as well. And so what we're saying is that those cases are to be included in the Mishnah. Now for Onin, what do we learn? We go back to what we learned in the previous Mishnah, right? In the previous Perek. That for the case of Onin, so you can tovel in the mikvah and you can eat Karban Pesach that evening. And so you are required to bring Karban Pesach if you are an Onin on Erev Pesach. So for those cases over there, you had an opportunity to do so. You should have done so. Your failure to do so. So that results in karis. So that is all going to be Rav Sheshis's understanding of the Mishnah. So Rav Sheshis says is that what we're going to have to do is that we're going to include the cases of Mazid and Onain. Those are the cases that are going to be included in the Mishnah. And the point is that according to Rav Sheshis, in the case of Tamei and Derech Rechoka, so those are cases where you are going to be full-fledged exempt from being Pesach Rishon. That is all the Mishnah according to Rav Sheshis, which again all wraps up Rav Sheshis's point, which is that if you're B'Derech Rechoka, so you are bona fide exempt. It's not a relief, it's an exemption. Rav Nachman, now Rav Nachman says, no, as far as what cases are to be added to the Mishnah, so obviously you're going to add the case of Mazid into the Mishnah, but you're not going to add the case of Onin into the Mishnah. Now the truth of the matter is that if the only case that we're adding into the Mishnah is the case of Mazid, so then the grammar of the Mishnah is a little bit off. Because the Mishnah says, "Elu patur miyakaris ve'elu chayavin biikaris." Now the word chayavin is lashon rabim, and if we're only adding the case of Mazid is only one case. The Mishnah should say chayav, not chayavin. So the Gemara says, "Okay, you're right." So v'hadikani. So uvedinu dibay le'lemisne chayav. So the Gemara makes exactly that point. Yeah, really, you should have said the word chayav, but. Since the beginning of the Mishnah said the word Petur, and so the end of the Mishnah says the word Chayavin, even though there's only one case mentioned over there. But according to Rav Nachman, the point is that in the case of Derech Rechoka, so Derech Rechoka, even though you are given an exemption, but that exemption does not remove you from the Karban Pesach. It just simply means that you're relieved from having to bring Karban Pesach. But if you'd like to do so, i.e., someone will shechet on your behalf and you'll make it to Yerushalayim by nightfall. So then you could for sure do that. I'd come and stop over here with a quick recap of our daf today. We started the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Alfam and Beis. An Onin, even though there is a din aninus mid derabanan the night following the Yom Hamisa, and that normally would preclude him from eating karbanos, nevertheless, for the Karban Pesach, so what the Chachamim did is they relaxed the rules, allowing him to have the Karban Pesach shechted on his behalf that day, obviously somebody else, and the, And by nightfall, the aninus, the rabbanon, is going to be waived so that he can partake of Karban Pesach. This would be true by no other Karban. By no other Karban, it's just a mitzvah. By Karban Pesach, it's a mitzvah that has with it a chovas kares. The Mishnah also goes on to describe that there are other cases of aninus de rabbanan, shomei al meso, malake lo atzamos, aninus de rabbanan, but there the daytime is de rabbanan. So the nightfall, so the chachamim relaxed even for the eating of any karban. And then finally the Mishnah goes on to describe that somebody who receives a bris milah, specifically a ger, that receives a bris milah on Erev Pesach, so machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether he could partake of Karban Pesach that evening. Beis Shammai says he can, Beis Hillel says he cannot. And the line of the Mishnah, parish mina arla, ke parish mina kever. Once you have your arla removed, so it's like, it's tantamount to tumas meis, midrabanan. The Gemara goes on to describe that, what we explained in the Mishnah, aninus de rabanan is going to get waived for the eating of the Karban Pesach. Rav Yochanan's distinction between a Jew receiving a bris milah on Erev Pesach, where he could partake of the Karban Pesach, versus a non-Jew who's going through conversion, where he cannot partake. And the difference is that for the non-Jew, he'll be confused between last year and this year. Last year, when he converted, on Erev Pesach, not being mekabel tumah, not realizing that even though he just came into contact with a mace hours before the conversion, it's not going to affect him because he's a non-Jew, as opposed to this year where he's Jewish, and the Chacham did not want that confusion. Therefore, that's why Beis Hillel has a ban. The end of the eighth parak goes through three cases where the Chachamim held firm on their din derabanan, three cases where the Chachamim relaxed their din derabanan, and we went through all six cases. Then we started the new Mishnah describing Pesach Sheni, the new Mishnah, the new parak describing Pesach Sheni. The Mishnah says that if you're tamei b'derech rechoka, so and you didn't offer Pesach Rishon, you have a chance to bring Pesach Sheni. And the truth of the matter is ones and shogeg as well. And now, as we have gone through the first bit of Gemara, we now know that the Mishnah is also talking about mazid, possibly even onin as well. So if you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, so you bring Pesach Sheni. What's the difference between these cases? So for a case like mazid, so you're chayiv kares, even though you still can bring Pesach Sheni. For a case like shogeg, ones, derech rechoka, or tamei, so there, you're not going to be chayiv kares. Okay, you have an exemption. Some more legitimate than others, but you have an exemption. The Gemara's discussion debate that we started off with today, machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. If you are bederech rechoka and you won't be able to make it into Yerushalayim by the afternoon, but you will be able to make it by nightfall, can somebody shech Karban Pesach on your behalf? Rav Nachman says yes. Rav Sheshes says no. And the Gemara just simply read into the Mishnah whether or not each of these positions can be read into the Mishnah. We continue tomorrow from the very bottom of the Amud.